Once again, greetings everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we cordially invite your call right now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God this month, and it's a topic that we could talk about forever. You'll never get to the very depths of what the grace of God is and what it means in your life. Why? Because it's connected to the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a word that's as big as Jesus himself, as big as God himself. And as you look through the book of John, for example, you see that Jesus Christ shows up, and he's the one who is full of grace and truth.
Yes.
So if we're going to know anything about the grace of God, we really have to take a look at Jesus. And there we're going to see what that grace of God is all about. And once it captures your heart and mind, you just want to dive deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and learn more and more and more. And it's interesting, Bob. You know, there's been all kinds of brilliant minds and theologians and biblical scholars, and you know, toward the end of their lives, you know, people have asked them, you know, what's the most important thing in your life, or what do you want to find out more? And most all of them always pick the grace of God.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, I just feel like I've scratched the surface. I just feel like I'm getting to know just a little bit of what the grace of God is all about and why I really needed it in my life.
Yeah.
And we look in 1 Peter and we see that angels are kind of sitting on the sidelines and looking at us experience the grace of God, and they're looking and saying, wow, I wish I could experience that. I wish I could know what that grace of God was all about. And they can just observe it and see it from a distance, but you and I get to experience.
Yeah.
So yesterday I put on my Facebook page, and if you haven't followed me on Facebook, I would love for you to do that. Just go to Facebook and look up my name, Bob Christopher, and then friend me. I'd love to connect with you on social media.
Sure.
But we asked the question, what does the grace of God mean to you? And we had a number of people respond. Teresa wrote this, grace to save us and grace with which to live our new lives in Christ Jesus. And I love that, because so often we just relegate grace to that moment of salvation, that moment when we cross over from death to life, the moment that we receive Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then from that point, we kind of leave grace, and we think of that as kind of elementary first grade stuff, and we want to go on to deeper things. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble. Why? Because if we turn our backs on the grace of God as far as living the Christian life, all we have available to us is human effort and rules and regulations and those sort of things, and that just isn't going to do when it comes to living a victorious Christian life. We're saved by grace. We're sustained by grace. So grace carries us all the way through from start to end. Gary wrote this, long story short, God's power on us. And certainly we see that in the Word of God. It's this power of grace that makes us alive together with Jesus Christ, we who were dead in trespasses and sins. Mm-hmm. So it's a power that God enacts through Jesus to give us new life in him. So I really love that that idea and that thought. And then Walter writes this, it's the radical full provision and love of God without contention or courtroom deliberations. Jury's out, condemnation ended, and the owner of 1,000 hills of cattle lives within. Mm-hmm. Grace means his sufficiency and indwelling life. So these are just a few of the comments on that question, what does the grace of God mean to you? We have this wonderful definition that I found out of the Word Study dictionary, and it says this, the absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver. Like I said, this is a God word. It emanates from God, and we're merely the recipients.
Yeah.
We've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we would love to hear your thoughts on the grace of God on today's program. If you have a working definition in your mind that you would like to share, we would love to hear that.
Yeah.
So call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about the grace of God. Let's talk about why we need the grace of God, why God's grace is sufficient for us in all things.
Absolutely. And friends, we so appreciate every one of you who stands with us each month with your prayers and your financial support. The need continues because in this time of distress, lost jobs, lost income, mortgages past due, hope lost, well, people just need to hear the reassuring message of God's love in Jesus Christ. And if Basic Gospel is on the air and online, well, that's the message they will hear. It's a message of hope. But Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the message going. So we encourage you to please join us by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll be delighted to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a book with a message that will bring confident reassurance of God's presence in our lives every moment of every day. Be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you make your May gift to support this message you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Well, once again, Bob, we have open lines, 844-322-2742. If it's coming up on 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is Basic Gospel Live, and we'd be honored to receive your phone call right now and have you speak directly with us at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, this call came in overnight.
Hey, Bob, thank you all for your ministry, first of all. My question is, how do you tell somebody, because I'm a Southern Baptist all the way, how do you tell somebody, and I think it's in Romans, but how would you tell somebody that your salvation can never be took away? Once saved is always saved is 100% what I believe. But how can I get somebody to understand that? And I think it's in Romans, but if you could explain that, that would be great. Thank you all and have a blessed evening.
Boy, I think that's a fantastic Wonderful. Question.
Yeah.
And all through the years of Basic Gospel and People to People before, you know, one of the most talked about subjects on the broadcast is assurance of salvation.
Yep.
Why? Because people want to know if they're saved or not. They want to face death with a confident assurance that when they take that last breath, they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I've talked to many people who were ill and in the hospital, and they knew death was imminent for them. And many of them would ask me, you know, I just hope I've done enough.
Right,
I hope
yeah.
that I've been good enough. And it's like, you haven't. You haven't done enough. You haven't been good enough. You haven't lived up to the righteous standards of God's law. Let's forget about that. But Jesus Christ has done enough.
He did.
And he's your confidence. He's your assurance. He's the one that did the work to secure your salvation, and he's the one that gives himself to you as salvation itself.
Sure, absolutely.
So I think the way you explain this is to take a step back and say, let's ask the question, what is salvation to begin with? You know, many people just think of it in terms of forgiveness of sins. They get a golden ticket that grants them entry into heaven when they die, and they hope they keep that golden ticket in a safe place. They don't want to lose it.
But it's safe.
That's exactly right. But that's not salvation. I mean, forgiveness certainly is a piece of that salvation pie, but it's not the whole pie. And what salvation really is life. Jesus Christ came into this world so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If you have Jesus, you have life. So why is that important to know? Why? Because our condition apart from Christ is that we were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. So to be saved is to go from death to life. It's to be made alive together with Christ. So for that to happen, Jesus had to deal with the thing that killed us, and that was sin.
Yeah.
And he dealt with it once and for all at the cross. So he removed that, took that obstacle out of the way so that he could give us life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus was buried to put an end to your old way of life, that Jesus was raised so that you could have life everlasting, at that moment of belief, you are made alive together with Christ. Paul says that we have become new creations. And Jesus sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So the fact that you have God's Holy Spirit living in you, and he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you, is proof positive that your sins have been forgiven, that you have been made holy by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that he has given you his righteousness, that he has reconciled you unto himself, and now you are the dwelling place of God. Mm-hmm. So for you to lose salvation, the work of Jesus would have to be undone. So the Holy Spirit would have to leave, and he would have to take away the righteousness that he's imparted to you. He would have to take away the holiness that he imparted to you. He would have to take the sins off of himself and put them back on you. And then he'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
all of those things.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do it. And because he lives, you live. He is your life. And you're not going to lose your salvation because he isn't going to lose his life.
Absolutely.
That's the way you explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give the full story, when you give the big picture, people kind of look and it's like, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
I see. It's much bigger than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to convince somebody is just telling them what salvation is, telling them what Jesus did to accomplish that salvation, and boy, they'll breathe this sigh of relief, and they'll truly experience what Paul says in Romans 5:1, those who have been justified by faith have peace with God. Well, what is peace? It is the assurance of the soul knowing that he is saved.
Wonderful.
That's
question.
The peace of God.
Yeah, wonderful question, and we appreciate hearing from this particular listener. Let's take it a step further, Bob, and another question that would come up in relation to that, if you can't lose your salvation, can you lose your fellowship with God?
Can't lose your fellowship either. Why? Because fellowship and salvation are really one and the same. So John writes in his first letter that I'm writing all of these things so that you too can have fellowship with us. And mm-hmm. our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:9 that we have been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. So that's what we experience. That's part of this salvation mm-hmm. that we have. We're in fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, which means we're in relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And nothing can take that away from us.
Nothing.
So God has come to live inside of us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. When we mess up, he's still there.
Yep.
He hasn't turned his back on us. He's not sitting there waiting for us to beg and plead for him to turn around so he can talk to mm-hmm. us again. No, his Spirit, when we mess up, his Spirit is going to point us back to the cross and say, I've already forgiven it.
Recalculating.
Yes, his Spirit is going to tell us that we are children of God, that we indeed belong to the Lord. So when you're in fellowship, you're saved.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be out of fellowship. Why? Because you are in the light as he is in the light.
Good teaching, Bob. Thank you for that. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to really come into the studio and talk directly with us at 844-322-2742. Open lines right now for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, a heart-wrenching question from Susan, who writes, she says, I continually ask Christ for confirmation in my heart that I am his and all my sins are forgiven, but I am experiencing constant doubt that he loves me. When I read that his Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his, I cry out for the Lord to make it real to me, but the doubts will not go away.
Well, that's a very important question, and what I have found to be the root cause of that doubt is that we haven't embraced our true identity as children of God. We still think of ourselves in terms of some sin that we've committed in the past. Mm-hmm. And so that's who I am. And we read these passages in the Word of God that says folks like that aren't going to inherit eternal life. But we failed to go on and read, and that's what some of you were. But now you've been washed, you've been justified, you have been glorified in the name of the Lord. So we have to realize that not only did Christ forgive our sins, but he gave us a new identity. And when we start to embrace that new identity, then we can let the past go. We can recognize, well, that's not me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I am going to live and dwell there. And I've seen this in so many people's lives. I've seen folks who doubt, and yet they know the Word of God better than most people.
Yeah.
I mean, they can quote verses, but in their heart they say, this doesn't apply to me because I'm still that adulterer. I'm still that promiscuous person, or I'm still that person who committed X, whatever that may be. And you have to come to grips and start believing what God says is true about you. And when you start believing and start thanking him, then you're going to see those doubts go away.
Yes, indeed.
I guarantee it. And, you know, there's lots of passages in the Word of God that can kind of scare us a little bit, can make us think, well, maybe I don't belong. One of those passages is Hebrews 10:26, and I bring this up because we just released a brand new video today on our YouTube channel about Hebrews 10:26. Does Hebrews 10:26 teach that a believer can lose salvation? Well, the answer is a resounding no, but we really look at that passage and talk about what exactly the writer of Hebrews means in that particular passage. And we would love for you to visit our YouTube channel and take a look at that. And mm-hmm. while you're there, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe.
Sure.
And you'll be informed when we release new videos in the future. But it's just a wealth of resources, spiritual resources, mm-hmm. to help you in your journey with yeah. Christ Jesus.
And you'll find this and all the videos available and in the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. And you can just go to basicgospel.net/YouTube, and you'll find Bob's videos right there. As I said the other day, 40 or more videos there, and they're all there for you. They're all free, and we hope you'll enjoy going through them and sharing them as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to Austin, Texas, and talk to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome, my friend.
And it's always a pleasure. Love you guys. And I have a witnessing-oriented question. You know, sometimes it's easier to witness to someone who maybe they've hit rock bottom in some way, an addiction or a divorce or some major life tragedy. But I was recently talking to a friend and who is happy in life. How do you witness to the happy, content person who they say things like, you know, well, that's good for you, Randy. So glad you found Jesus. That works for you. I don't really want to hear that. I'm doing well. You know, he's got the great marriage. He's got the great job. He's content. He's got the nice house, the kid. Everything's going well.
Well, he's lying to you.
But what a great question.
How do you witness to the so-called happy person? Jesus didn't come to make unhappy people happy. But how do you, what would you say, Bob?
Well, that's a great question. To me, I think you just talk about Jesus, who this Jesus is. And I think you give a person like that information that has helped you, that has been meaningful to you. There's going to be a point in a person's life where, they're not successful. Certainly, you know, what we're going through right now, there was a lot of successful people that overnight lost their businesses, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. overnight lost their wealth in the stock market. And now they're wondering, well, that was my security. That's where my happiness was. Where am I going to find it now? And they're going to recognize that there's something missing deep inside of them. So one of the things that I try to talk to people about is the emptiness in the human heart apart from Jesus Christ. We can be happy people, but that doesn't mean that we don't sense that there's something wrong inside of us. And we don't sense that there's a need that can only be met by something outside and beyond us. So I would talk to them about that emptiness inside and to say that Jesus Christ came that you might have a abundant life, spiritual life at in your inner being, so that you can really have meaning and purpose here and now, and a confident assurance of a destiny following death. So that's how I would put it.
Right. That helps. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, Randy. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we have a chapter in there called The Crossover. And it talks about salvation, and it gives four or five different ways that you can approach somebody, talking with them, and trying to help surface what's really going on inside. So let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy, okay?
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, thanks, Randy. You too.
Yeah, great to hear from. Great to hear from Randy.
Yes, indeed. Well, we had this question from Oscar on our YouTube channel: is near-death experience of people going to hell false or true? Well, somebody's experience is their experience. How they couch it, how they frame it, that may or may not be true. All they know is this is what happened. This is what I saw, and we kind of have to leave it at that. If somebody comes to you, Oscar, and says, I had this near-death experience and it felt like I was going to hell, I think you have an open door to talk about Jesus and say, hey, there's somebody that has come, that has died in your place, has taken your sins away and was raised back to life, has conquered death, and you can conquer it through faith in him. Are you willing to trust him? So if somebody talks about an experience like that, use it as an opportunity to just get the foot in the door and tell him about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah. Quick question here from Jeremy. Some of the other ministries I respect will one day talk about being washed clean by the blood, and then the next day they will post about keeping short accounts with God. To me, it's highly confusing and troubling. What do you say?
Well, we're clean and forgiven. It's a done deal. There's no need to keep short accounts with God as far as forgiveness is concerned. Christ died once. His blood was sufficient to take away all of our sins. When we received him, guess what? We received forgiveness. Yeah. So in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord receives forgiveness of sin. So this is a gift of grace that we currently have. So we don't have to beg and plead for more.
Yeah.
So let's settle that. Let's settle that issue. Let the finality of the cross be finished in your heart and respond to the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving for what he did and what you have in him.
Absolutely. Well, friends, I want to remind you once again that we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. You'll find links at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. And thanks for being with us today, everybody. Overnight, if you have a Bible question or a life issue that you'd like to get a discussion of, well, give us a call, a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Also, keep in mind that we have this excellent gift for our May donors. It's Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a detailed look at how the Christian life is supposed to work. It's our way of saying thanks to you for your support of Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and help us get the word out far and wide. Be sure to request also your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you make your donation in May. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.